How many of you grew up in more liturgical churches that had the lectionary and the readings for Advent? Okay, so just so you low church reprobates like me, the lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary, prescribes a 3-year cycle of all the readings we had. And just for our sake, when Scripture is read, the usual response is, you know, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. But when the Gospels are read, this is the word of the Lord, praise to you, Lord Christ. So next week, amaze our lector, Calvin, when he gets back, with your understanding of that. When you think of beacons, what do you think of? How many of you saw the movies, The Lord of the Rings? And remember the beacons of Gondor up on the mountain watching for an enemy, and the beacons went up to Rohan. Now, here's a little bonus for you that have read the books. That's historically inaccurate for Middle Earth. How did they really call for the help of Gondor? How did Gondor call for Rohan? What was the official way to do it? A red arrow. They sent a red arrow. Goes back to, you know, this, the history of J.R.R. Tolkien's amazing. But anyway, think of a beacons, you know, beacon fires up on a mountain, passing the news that we're watching for an enemy or something. I think of during the time of the Spanish Armada, England had beacons all along the southern coast of England, not in mountains, but, you know, along the coast where here come the Spanish, you know, light fires before the age of, you know, swift communication. So that's the name of the title, Mountain Watch. And why watch? The first banner is watch in the Revised Common Lectionary, Year A. So we're in Year A. And the verses we all read had something to do with the idea of hope, watching, preparing the hope of his coming. Like Giles said, you know, the first Advent when Christ came, God, you know, God the Son, born in the manger in Bethlehem to be that sinless Lamb of God, to die for the sins of God's people. But now, this side of the cross, we not only look for should be thinking about the season of Advent, but also preparing for his second coming. And that was some of the readings. Psalm 122 is a song of ascent that they would sing on their way up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot, you know, when they made the booths to commemorate wandering in the wilderness back during the 40 years. But the idea of that psalm was the peace of Jerusalem, the thrones of the house of David, especially in the latter days, referring back ultimately to God's covenant, Davidic covenant, that David's line would have a king to sit on the throne for eternity. And so after Solomon, many other human kings, but then along came, of course, that ultimate king, a descendant of David, Jesus. And then in Romans 13, Paul is writing that we should be, our salvation is near. In other words, expecting the Christ to come back and give us ultimate salvation. We have been saved from sin, if you are a Christian already, but looking forward to when Christ comes to take us and, you know, the very presence of sin as we are saved ultimately from that. And we are to walk in the light. There are ramifications for us being Christians. Because of this truth, it should affect our lives to walk in the light, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And historically, those verses, the great Saint Augustine, that's what brought about his conversion. And he wrote a lot of theology that has affected the church today. But those were verses that sort of awoke him out of his slumber. And then Matthew 24, 36 to 44, that's part of the Olivet Discourse that Jesus was telling right before he was crucified during Holy Week. And it's talking about end times and the second coming, that just like in the days of Noah, life is going on, like for us, just everybody's out in the field, you know, just normal life's going on. But then comes the second coming, bringing with it ultimately judgment, for where God judges the sheep and the goats, the, you know, the good and the bad, if you will. And so we should be watching and not be like people who are unaware of reality. Now, nobody knows the time or the hour, Jesus says, but we should recognize the signs of the time. And during this Advent season, as we remember that first Advent, that should be affecting us, looking like David wrote, a red when he lit that first candle, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Isaiah passage, that whole section of Isaiah is interesting because it talks about in chapter 1, the evil of man's kingdom, Judah, Jerusalem, under man. We live in a fallen world that's messed up. But the problem in Isaiah 1, verse 11 to 15, here are the words of Isaiah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. I will hide my eyes from you. This is the Lord. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So the problem is man's sin, going through the motions, thinking we can please a holy God by what we do. And so the solution is the next couple of verses. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. So in other words, live a life of true sacrifice. It's not going through the motions. It's ultimately our faith should reflect in how we actually live our lives. And how are you going to do that? Well, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so when is this all happening? Well, at the first advent, Jesus, that Lamb of God, was born to make us right, not by what we do, but to make our sins white as snow because of what he was born ultimately to die some 33 years later. But then the ultimate established, like I said, that second coming, as we look forward to the return of Christ, when all will be made right in this fallen world. And that's Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 5. And it mentions the mountain of Yahweh, the mountain of Jerusalem, Mount Zion, during the kingdom, looking to that future day where ultimate peace shall come. The familiar verses, beating your swords into plowshares. So a picture of ultimate peace that only God can provide. And in that new Jerusalem, God's law, God's teaching, the nations will come to learn from the Lord, to seek the word of the Lord. And the peace that God is providing is more than just administration and enforcement of laws. Sure, that'll happen. But a whole new world order of shalom, peace, unity with God for his people. That's the poetic picture of what that second advent calls. So one of the problems in the church, and of course the world today, is a lack of comprehending and recognizing the importance of this season. Israel, the Old Testament prophets, Israel especially missed it. The prophets, you know, spoke to deaf ears a lot of times. But like Paul says in Galatians, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So that right in God's perfect timing, the light of the world was born to Israel, and hence to all people, the first advent. So the spiritual importance is, you know, of course, what's important this advent season. But also remembering the judgment of his return. And the world doesn't get that. And unfortunately, sometimes in the church, we have forgotten about that. We just sort of live for the now. And all nations, like Isaiah said, it's a universal, exclusive, only through Christ, God's Son, all nations. That's the answer for all nations. For to this God, the one true God, on this mountain, Mount Zion, Christianity is an exclusive religion, as we say. There's, you know, no other way. And that's what these Advent readings are portraying, that Jesus came to make us right with God. He's coming again. We call that glorification, that we then now are spending eternity with the God who saved us. In Zion, Psalm 132, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. Sort of a poetic picture of where God is, that's where we will be, through Christ alone. So we should be watching for the arrival of the Messiah, not only on Christmas Eve, you know, and Christmas that we celebrate, but for his return. We may not know the when, But we do know that is coming, what all that entails. And it should affect us in our daily walk, our daily lives. We have an ethical responsibility to live lives that bring God glory. And so the promises then of Psalm 122, Isaiah 2, God's mountain, God's presence, God's peace, the peace and the light of the Lord ultimately that shines in the darkness of the world. You know, one of the Christmas songs we sing, you know, that light in the world in darkness, pining. We know where the ultimate light comes, and that's something we are watching for. And up here in the mountains, we can picture it, that we almost the beacons of what God is doing. We can see the stars, like, you know, you think of the Star of Bethlehem. We've got a pretty good show up here. Hopefully that reminds us to keep the main thing during this Christmas season. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Advent. We thank you for your prophets. We thank you for the watching. All the things that were done throughout Israel's history, ultimately pointing to the arrival of the Messiah. And then beyond that, to the second arrival of the Messiah. Most pivotal events in all world history. Help us to remain focused and watch for that, and the hope that that brings, that eternal hope that we know that we have because of what you have done. Thank you for the season. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together and just reading, using the lectionary, reading your word to remind us of how important all this is. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.